And I pray that at the end of today's fellowship, it shall be a time of refreshing. We all have the testimony of being refreshed in the name of Jesus. See, whenever we come to the table of the Lord, we are supposed to come with a hunger. You know, there's a slogan that we have as a church, that whenever you are coming, bring your plate. That, yes, we might not be here physically, no, in the church building, but I believe that each and every one of us right now, we are going to set the plate upon the table that the Lord is setting before us today. And at the end, we'll all be filled even to an overflow in the name of Jesus. This month, I've been declared, I've been tagged for a time like this. So that is the theme for the month, for a time like this. And the anchor scripture is from the book of Esther chapter 4, and verses 13 to 14. That will be the passage that we are going to use, but just to address the theme first, I will read Esther chapter 4 from verses 13 to 14. He said, Mordecai sent this reply to Esther. Don't think for a moment that because you are in the palace, you will escape when other Jews are killed. If you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place. But you and your relatives will die. Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for just such a time as this. Esther chapter 4 from verses 13 to 14. I pray that the Lord, through this word, this month, will help us to fulfill purpose. This theme, is just a theme that, the people in the military will say, is a clarion call. It's a call that sets you on your toe. It's a call that brings you back to Habakkuk chapter 2, that talks about you carrying the vision and running with it. So why is it that God is still keeping you alive? Why are you still being preserved in a time like this? Why are you still having the privilege to still breathe in a time like this? Why are you here in a time like this? Why are you privileged to be or to have what you have in a time like this? So all through this month, whether we are gathering physically or still meeting online, I want you to continually ponder and find purpose in this world. Father, what exactly are you expecting from me? In a time like this, why have I been kept in a time like this? And I pray that the Lord will help us to find purpose and fulfill the purpose in the name of Jesus. So like I said, we are going to be looking at the theme for today's message, for such a time as this. And the anchor scripture is still Esther chapter 4, but it will be from verses 1 to the end. Esther chapter 4 from verses 1 to the end. Before we go into the brief message, I want to quickly pass across some announcements. The first announcement that I want to pass across before we go into the full message is that we'll be having the communion service between 6 to 7 this evening. It might not be for a full hour, but we've been told to download Zoom for the communion service, which will be between the hours of 6 to 7 p.m. this evening. And also to get ready the bread and the wine, individually in our homes. And the person that will conduct the communion will do that via Zoom. And I pray that all of us will have the touch of heaven through this communion service today in the name of Jesus. And again, we have the bulletin online. So please, if you can just take time to go to the church website and just feed yourself. We have very enriching messages that have been posted online by our brother that sees to the bulletin. So please take time, feed yourself, and help us the message to other people around you. And I pray that the Lord will bless us in the name of Jesus. Until we are permitted by the government to come together physically, we'll still be having the online service, but with a new modification. So from today, by the grace of God, instead of having the workers meeting before the service, we'll be having the service straight on, maybe 1 hour, 1 hour, 15 minutes. And I pray that it's always be a time of grace poured upon us in the name of Jesus. So I will just take us straight into the message, and I pray that the Lord will feed us to an overflow this morning. Shall we just have a word of prayer? Father, in the name of Jesus, as we go into your word, Holy Spirit, you are the greatest teacher. Come and teach us and help us to still understand you as you teach us in the name of Jesus. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' glorious name we have prayed. Amen. I'm going to read from Esther chapter 4 from verses 1 to the end. I'm reading from the NLT version. So Esther chapter 4 from verses 1 to the end. Say, when Mordecai learned about all that had been done, he tore his clothes, put on pallor and ashes, and went into the city, crying with a loud voice and bitter wail. He went as far as the gate of the palace, for no one was allowed to enter the palace gate while wearing clothes of mourning. As news of the king's decree reached all the provinces, there was great mourning among the Jews. They fasted, wept, and wailed, and many people lay in pallor and ashes. When Queen Esther's maids and the eunuchs came and told her about Mordecai, she was deeply distressed. She sent clothing to him to replace the pallor, but he refused it. Then Esther sent for Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs, who had been appointed as her attendant. She ordered him to go to Mordecai and find out what was troubling him and why he was in mourning. So Hathach went out to Mordecai in the square in front of the palace gate. Mordecai told him the whole story, including the exact amount of money Haman had promised to pay into the royal treasury for the destruction of the Jews. Mordecai gave Hathach a copy of the decree issued in Susa that called for the death of all Jews. He asked Hathach to show it to Esther and explain the situation to her. He also asked Hathach to direct her to the king to beg for mercy and plead for her people. So Hathach returned to Esther with Mordecai's message. Then Esther told Hathach to go back and relay this message to Mordecai. All the king's officials and even the people in the provinces know that anyone who appears before the king in his inner court without being invited is doomed to die unless the king holds out his gold scepter. And the king has not called for me to come to him for the 30 days. So Hathach gave Esther's message to Mordecai. Mordecai sent this reply to Esther. Don't think for a moment that because you are in the palace, you will escape when all other Jews are killed. If you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place. But you and your relatives will die. Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for such a time as this? Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go and gather together all the Jews of Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will do the same. And then, though it is against the law, I will go in to see the king. If I must die, I must die. So Mordecai went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in Jesus' name. Amen. The story that we just read, you know, is a story that is relevant to the time that we are in. All over the world, you know, we might not have a decree like these people had from the so-called Haman. But there's something that is, you know, fighting for our soul, fighting for our lives, fighting for our deliverance, fighting, you know, against our liberty, fighting against our freedom, fighting against our existence. There have been so many, you know, posts here and there about the purpose of the coronavirus, about this, about that. And this passage is just relevant for such a time as this. But what are we now able to pick from this story? And what are we to do? So the subtitle under the theme will be, what is my relevance in a time like this? What is my relevance in a time like this? Why, you know, have I, like I said, Why am I still being kept alive by the Lord? Why am I still given the privilege every day to do what? To breathe. In the book of Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. Ezekiel 22 and verse 30. You know, the Lord was seeking for a man. The Lord, you know, himself said that he sought for a man that he should not destroy. Ezekiel 22 and verse 30. Let me quickly, you know, take us there so that we can understand why we begin to look at the points, why we begin to look at, you know, the relevance that we carry, you know, in such a time like this. Ezekiel 22 and verse 30. He said, I look for someone who might rebuild the wall of righteousness that guards the land. I search for someone to stand in the gap in the wall so I wouldn't have to destroy the land. But I found no one. God is still in the business of looking for someone. He's still so much, you know, desperate to get someone who will move his hand. He's still so much interested in someone who will be another Abraham that will intercede for Lot, for the lost souls, for those that have been relocated to the land of Sodom. God is still in the process and is still looking and seeking for a man. No, the end of everything is gradually approaching. We are gradually coming to the end of the world, not to the end of existence of man. But in a time like this, God is seeking for someone who will move his hand, who will bring down the kingdom of heaven on earth. When Jesus was teaching his disciples about the rudiments of prayers, you know, at a point he said, after you have praised God, ask that the kingdom of heaven, things be done as it is done in heaven, here on earth. We are in a time where we need to ask God, not to help us as humans to be able to do things here on earth as it is being done in heaven. That is the purpose for which God is still keeping you. That is the purpose for which God is still giving me the privilege to still be alive. It is not known for us to be able to gather any other thing. Matthew 6:33 says that seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added. Yesterday I was having a chat with my daughter, and I was saying, can you imagine? Look at our wardrobes, all these clothes now. Only God knows the next time that we'll be able to, you know, begin to take them out one after the other. I don't know what is it that you have used your, you know, the time on earth to gather. But what will it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul to hell? What is it that we are running after? What is it? The only thing that should matter to us in a time like this is for us to pray that, Father, let your kingdom come. See, early this morning, Daddy Gio was online, and he prayed a prayer. He said, Father, please return your peace to us. And that statement, you know, gripped my heart. I was like, Father, does it mean that you have taken your peace out of the world? But let's just imagine it. Let's also analyze it. Where the king is, there's authority. When the prince of peace is somewhere, there will be peace there. So does it mean that God at this time has deserted the world? So we need to have people like Esther who will say, no, I do not mind if I die, just doing what? Crying and crying until the kingdom of God is brought to this earth. There was a time in the book of Daniel that he too had to also stand, as the intercessor, as the one that will move the hand of God. God is a spirit, but he wants to do many things here on earth. He needs people. He needs men. Will you be found in this month of April for a time like this to move the hand of God, to bring the kingdom of God here on earth? I pray God will find you dependable in the name of Jesus. So I will quickly take us through 6 points that the Lord has helped me to draw out of this Esther chapter 4. What is my relevance in a time like this? The number one, like I said, is to stand in the gap stand in the gap. Stand in the gap, you know, in the place of prayer. Men, you know, in those days, they would say, until I see this man giving his life to Jesus, until I see this my sister changing, I will not stop praying. But these days, Christianity is taking a new shape. We don't actually, you know, want to travail. Apostle Paul traveled. The men of old traveled. Are you going to also be someone who in the heavens who have a record that for the time, you know, that there was darkness on earth, you were among those that traveled. You were among those that stood the test. You were among those that stood their ground. You were among those that said, I do not care. You know, if there's a Nebuchadnezzar, I will open my windows and I will go on my knees and I will cry to God. See, for us staying in our houses, it is not a time for us to be marrying and be dancing and be doing this. It is a time to stand in the gap. It is a time, you know. Well, yesterday or 2 days ago, I sent something on Facebook, and I said, if you think you'll be able to stand the test of not having chips put into you, think of your children. Nehemiah said, fight for your families. Fight for your family. We are not talking about taking arrows and bows. No. Fight. Ephesians chapter 6 made us to know that the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What we are talking about is the warfare in the spirit. And the only people that can do that are those, you know, that the scripture says that from the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God suffered violence. And it's only the violence in prayer, not the violence in talking and punching physically. We need men who will stand in the place of prayer. Esther said, fast, pray for me. You know, Esther, she made people to stand in the gap for her. And she also decided to stand in the gap for the rest of the Jews, saying, if I die, I die. Will you at this time decide to go on days of fast, you know, days of vigils, you know, saying, Father, let there be a change. Let there be a change. Maybe it is your voice that will actually bring a change in your community. You don't know. You don't know. You know, the next place that coronavirus is trying to enter, maybe it is your voice that will steal the hand, according to 2 Samuel chapter 24. Now, when that angel of destruction got over Jerusalem, God said, it is okay. God said it is okay. Only God knows who was standing in the gap at that time. But we all know that David was ready to do what? To build an altar. To build an altar to steal the hand of God. Are you also going to build an altar of prayer in a time like this? In a time like this? In a time like this? Travail over the souls of men. Travail over the health of men. Travail over the lives of men. Travail over the children. Travail over the teenagers. Travail in the place of prayer. I pray that the Lord will find you worthy in the name of Jesus. In a time like this, what is my relevance? Esther said, fast and pray for me. So the number two is what? To fast and pray for the deliverance of the whole world. Fast and pray for the deliverance of the whole world. Fast and pray for the deliverance of the whole world. This is not the job for prayer warriors. You know, let me, this is not the time that we say, oh, it is the work of the pastor to be preaching. It is the work of the deliverance team to do this, to do that. No, in your closet, fast and pray for the deliverance of the whole world. Fast and pray. Let there be a record in heaven that in a time like this, you were part of those that stood, decided to stand to rebuild the wall of righteousness. And I pray that the Lord will find you worthy in the name of Jesus. Number three is to use your influence. Those that have the opportunity not to be at the helm of affairs, those that have the opportunity to interact with those who are, in all these big organizations, use your influence. Use your influence. You were not promoted. You were not taken to that office, you know, to be sitting shoulder to shoulder with people who can make a difference in the negative way, and you will keep quiet. Use your influence.
Esther used her influence. You know, Mordecai said, do you think that you are going to escape it? Let me tell us, brothers and sisters, those that have the opportunity to be sitting with the high and highly placed, I'm begging us in the name of God, don't think, do not think that you will escape it. When the real thing, when the real scourge, when the real siege starts, are you going to use your influence to bring deliverance, to the people of God? Or are you also going to, because of a morsel of bread, because of 22 shekels of silver, be another Judas? Are you also going to sell out your people in a time like this? Are you going to join the fold of the wicked? No, to make the heart of God to continue to bleed, make a difference, be influential for God, and the Lord will bless you as you do so in the name of Jesus. The number four thing, you know, that will make us to be very relevant positively for the Lord in a time like this is to arise to encourage. Be another comforter. Be another comforter. See, many people are living in fear. Many people are living in fear. And the Bible said that we have not been given the spirit of timidity. We have not been given the spirit of fear. We have not been given the spirit that puts no in the bondage of fright. I want you to be another comforter. No, say wholesome words. In the book of Philippians 4 and verse 8, those things that are worthy. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Let me quickly take us there. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. The scripture said, Philippians 4 and verse 8. It says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. If we are having all this in our hearts, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. When all that you are thinking about are things that are true, you will not spread false news that will make people to be running from pillar to post. If all that you are thinking are honorable things, you will not put people in bondage by the words of your mouth. If what you are thinking, they are right and pure, if they are admirable and lovely, you will always be an agent of peace. You will be another comforter here. See, in the book of John chapter 14, the Bible says something about the comforter. And it says, John 14 and verse 26, it says, but when the Father sends the advocate, when the Father sends the advocate, are you going to be another advocate in a time like this? Are you going to be another advocate in a time like this? Like I said, be an encourager, be another comforter, be another Holy Spirit. Yes, you cannot be the Holy Spirit. Nobody can be the Holy Spirit. But what I'm saying is that be a replica of God in spirit and in truth. He said, but when the Father sends the advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. The Holy Spirit will always remind you of things that are true, things that are lovely, things that are admirable, things that are pure, things that are of good report. So if in a time like this, we cannot find this kind of words and things around you and in you, then there's a big problem. There's a big problem. You yourself will need to check your salvation, because in a time like this, we expect that from the abundance of your heart, you will feed others. May you be another comforter in the name of Jesus. The number five relevance is to keep the light of God burning in this dark moment. To keep the light of God burning in this dark moment. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, very popular passage. I know that all of us, we know what is in Matthew chapter 5. We have the sermon, the beatitude. But as Jesus was, talking to his disciples, he says something about being the light of the world. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. He says, you, and I want you to put your name as I will put my name now, Gifty Funmilayo David. You are the light of the world, a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. A city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. Huh? Are you actually a city on a hilltop in this dark moment, in this dark season? Are you going to let your light shine? The Bible said that, let verse 16 says, in the same vein, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. In a time like this, are you going to bring praise to your heavenly Father? Or are you going to make God to say again concerning you, I regret making this one. I regret forming this one. I regret creating this one. How come this one cannot represent me in this dark moment, in this dark season? Are you going to let your light shine, your relevance in a time like this, in a time where there's so much unrest? Let your light shine. Let your light shine. Let your light shine. Then let the light bring out your good deeds as you stand in the gap. Let your light bring out your good deeds so that all praise can go back to your Father. And as you do so, do you know the scripture said God inhabits, he dwells, he lives in the praise of his people. When all that you are emanating, you know, is praise, God will definitely come and dwell with you. No, God will definitely be there for you. You will have the reality of Psalm 91, even without quoting it, because you will have become the apple of God's eyes. And God can make declarations over you, saying, touch not my anointed, coronavirus or whatever is going around. Touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. When you arise to make declarations and to speak awesome words, you become a prophet of God. You become a mighty man in the hand of God. I pray that God will find you worthy in a time like this in the name of Jesus. And lastly, Esther said, I will go in to the king and do what? And plead for mercy before him. I will go in to the king and do what? And plead for mercy. And plead for mercy. As you go in, constantly, you know, at the hour of prayer, don't be selfish now. Don't even if you are asking for money and everything now, you want to be riding the latest car from where to where, when you are not even permitted to be going about gallivanting, you know, like one of my aunties would say, when you are not permitted to be showing off all that you are not having in your closet, when you cannot be, you know, showing forth all your beautiful clothes. Please, what are you running after? This is not the time to be selfish. It is the time to show mercy. And remember, mercy will always come to him that is merciful. Be another compassionate Jesus now. Let the Spirit of the Lord Jesus fill you to the brim. Stand up and plead for mercy. The whole world, we have fallen short of the glory of God. But thank God that there is grace in the Lord. We have the opportunity to always come back in the place of repentance. The Bible says, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name, you are the people of God. Those who have given their lives to Jesus are the people of God. Say, if they will humble themselves, are you going to, at this time, humble yourself and plead for mercy? The Bible says, God said, I will hear their voice, I will heal their land. Are you going to, at this time, take up the challenge? Be relevant. Plead for the mercy of God. And I pray that as you plead, the Lord will hear you in the name of Jesus. In conclusion, you cannot be relevant outside the lineage of Christ. Esther was first a Jew. Esther was first, no, an insider. You cannot make a difference while you are still out there. Esther was first a Jew. That gave her the opportunity to call on the name of the Lord and to come boldly before the throne of mercy, to ask for grace, to ask for mercy, to plead to plead. No, in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, verses 3, 6 to 7 and 16, he says, "For only we who believe can find rest. As for the others, God said, in my anger I took an oath. They will never enter my rest, even though this rest has been ready since he made the world." Verses 6 to 7 says, "So God's rest is there for people to enter. But those who first heard this good news failed to enter because they disobeyed God. So God set another time for entering his rest." Maybe before this day, you have heard over and over that you can only find life in the Lord Jesus. And you have been pushing your day of salvation. Today is another day of salvation. Today is another opportunity for you to do what? Make it right. It says, and that time is today. God announced through David much later in the words already quoted. Today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. And verse 16 says, when you have now given the Lord Jesus entrance, when you have opened the door of your heart, according to Revelation 3:20, he has been knocking. Open unto him today. Let him come so that he can dine with you. Say, then we can come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and will find grace to help when we need it most. I want us to just begin to talk to the God of heaven. If you have not given your life to him before, if you have not confessed the Lord Jesus, this is an opportunity to do what? Confess the Lord Jesus. This is an opportunity to turn, no, make it right. This is an opportunity to turn a new leaf. And no, this is an opportunity to come into the lineage of Christ. This is an opportunity to, no, become a child of the Most High God. He says, for as many that believe him, for as many that receive him, he has given them the power, he has given them the ability, he has given them the grace to become the children, to become the sons and the daughters of the Most High God. So if you have not, please, I want you to say this short prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for coming to die for my sin. I realize that I have failed and I realize that I have gone far away from you. Today I come back in repentance and I pray that you will come into my heart and come and have your place. Come and dine with me. Come and make my life beautiful again. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. And if you know you have just said that prayer, I want to welcome you into the house, into the body of Christ. And all together I want us to pray this prayer. He said that we should come boldly to receive mercy and to find grace when we need it most. I want you to begin to tell the Lord, Father, at this time, oh God, we cry for mercy. We cry for mercy. We cry for mercy. Over the whole world, we cry for mercy. You say you are looking for a man. Daddy, I make myself available, Father, to stand, oh God. Father, to stand, oh God, for our children, for our teenagers, oh God, for our, oh God, mothers, for our fathers, oh God, for everyone, oh God. Oh God, scattered all over the face of the earth. Daddy, oh God, we cry for your mercy. Oh God, have mercy upon us in the name of Jesus. Father, have mercy upon us, oh God. Have mercy upon us, oh God. Father, we cry for grace. We need grace, oh God. Father, we need grace. We have come, oh God, into a serious web and we don't even know how to get out. We don't know what to do. We don't know how we are going to, oh God, find peace again. Father, you are the Prince of Peace. Father, we call on you today that you, oh God, arise, oh God, and you help us. In the name of Jesus, you know that woman in the book of 2 Kings, when the son died, there was a dark moment that came over her. There was a dark moment that came over her household. And the Bible said that she ran even to the prophet, because she knows that when she boldly enters into the presence of the prophet, there shall be a positive news. There shall be a positive news. I want you to also run. Run. The Bible says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. He said the righteous run into it. If you have come into the lineage of the Lord, you are righteous by the blood of the Lord Jesus. And so I want you to run this day to ask for grace and mercy. We need it more than ever before. We need it. We need it. So many things are happening. So many laws will even not begin to come now. We are just now in a time that we need the mercy of God. We need divine intervention. We need divine intervention so that we will not perish with those that are wicked, so that we will not go down the way of the wicked. The Bible now made it very clear. clear to me that it is only the wicked that has been set aside for the day of destruction. So if you have not received the Lord Jesus, you are not set for the day of destruction, but you need God even to arise to help. You need God. If there was no intervention for Lot, he would have died with the people of Sodom, because he wouldn't have known. I want you to arise today and begin to cry for mercy, cry for grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask, oh Lord, that today you will arise, oh God, and help us. All over the world, we cry for your help, oh Lord. We cry for your intervention. We cry for your intervention in the name of Jesus. Daddy, arise to help us. Arise to help us. Arise to help us. Arise to help us. In the days of King Solomon, that woman came, and you know, there was a serious problem, because the child died, and there was a swap, and there was a swap, and you know, the Bible said that woman looked unto Solomon, and Solomon could read that this woman needed help, and thank God for the wisdom that God gave unto Solomon. I want us to also cry, Father, those that you will end, oh God, endow with the wisdom that will bring the solution. Father, raise them for us, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Raise them for us, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Raise them for us, oh Lord. We are in desperate need, oh God, of your help right now, in the name of Jesus. Father, please have mercy on us and forgive us of all our sins. Bring us back in the name of Jesus. Father, arise for us. Arise for us. Arise for us and take all the glory. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying. Amen. And lastly, we are going to pray that the Prince of Peace will come and have his place. Yeah. The Prince of Peace will come and have his place. When the Prince of Peace was in that boat, and there was no tumult, and no, the sea was beating against the boat, the Bible said Jesus arose and he said, peace be still. And there was a great calm. And there was a great calm. I want us to say, Father, in the name of Jesus, oh, let the Prince of Peace come and have his place. Prince of Peace, just come. Have your way. Come and have your place in our homes, in our community, all over the world. Prince of Peace, come and be enthroned. Come and be enthroned in the name of Jesus. Come and be enthroned in the name of Jesus. Come and be enthroned in the name of Jesus. Father, we cry today that you will send unto us the Prince of Peace. Send unto us the Prince of Peace. Oh, there was a cry in the book of Acts unto Apostle Paul. He said, come over to Macedonia and help us. Daddy, we cry, oh God, that you will come over to this part, oh God. Call the earth, call the world, and you will help us. Let the Prince of Peace come and have his way in the name of Jesus. Oh, Daddy, we pray that today we will find, oh God, grace before you. Thank you, Daddy, for you fed. Blessed be your holy name. I want us to just appreciate God for this time that we have spent before him. I believe we have been refreshed, and I pray that we will not forget in a hurry that we need to be relevant in a time like this, in a time like this, in the name of Jesus. Father, I want to say thank you. Blessed be your holy name, oh God, for what you have done. Thank you, Daddy, oh God, because we know. You said, even as we have said in your hearing, so you will do. Thank you, Daddy, because you said, when we cry, you will arise to help us. Thank you, Daddy, because you said that you will hold us by our right hand and you will help us. You said that you will help us. Daddy, we hold on to your word and we believe, oh God, that you will help us. Father, please fulfill your word in our lives in the name of Jesus. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' glorious name we have prayed. Amen. Daddy, we thank you.